Welcome to Bible Greek VPod's audio series. Join us as we look at the book of Joshua. Father God, thank you so much for this time together in your word. So please bless us in your word today and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we are in Joshua chapter 12. And this ends the section of conquering. The conquering section of the book. Look at the back of your handout. We have this illustration here. But it's just an illustration, and it shows the conquering Canaan section. And you notice at the bottom the time is 7 years. So this section, chapters really 6 through 13, we have a little bit more in the next chapter, but essentially up through chapter 12, that's it. 7 years. 7 years of conquering. You notice the first one, chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 5, was just 1 month. That was them going across the river. This is, this person calls it the preparation stage. Then he calls this the conquering stage, the subjection stage. And then the rest of the book covers 18 years. Chapters 13, essentially, through 24. And that's where they divide the land, they possess the land, and there'll be a few more little problems with the outsiders of the land. But that's where we're going. Settlement of Canaan is next. And we're going to look at chapter 12, and this is kind of a summary summary chapter of what has happened over the last 7 years. So let's take a look at chapter 12, verse 1. Verses 1 through 3. These are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel defeated and whose land they possessed on the other side of the Jordan towards the rising of the sun from the river Arnon to Mount Hermon and all the eastern Jordan plain. One king was Sidon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled half of Gilead. From Aor, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, from the middle of the river even as far as the river Jabbok, which is the border of the Amorites and the eastern Jordan plain, from the sea of Chinneresh as far as the sea of Abla, the Salt Sea, the road to Beth, so on and so forth. So he's talking about all of these areas, and he's going to recount all of the things that has occurred, all the territories that they have conquered. Skip down to verse 6. Verse 6 says, "These Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel had conquered, and Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession." Look at that. "As a possession to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh." So here we find in verse 6, Moses, as it says here, the servant of the Lord, as he was the servant of the Lord, he conquered this territory, and that was way back in Numbers. And he conquers this territory, and it's given as a 2.5 tribes, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half a tribe of Manasseh. But notice this word possession. Some of your Bibles have this translated as inheritance, as an inheritance. But it also could be translated as a heritage or a tradition. But possession or inheritance. This inheritance didn't occur here in Joshua. No, it did not. It occurred way back in Genesis. So if you have your Bibles, turn back to Genesis chapter 12, and we'll look at that. In the great Abrahamic covenant. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says this, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from all, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. It's actually in the Hebrew, cause to show you. He's going to direct him in a very personal way. A cause to show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse them who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that is the seed or the root of where they are now in Joshua chapter 12. They've taken possession of the land. Its roots are based here in Genesis chapter 12. But it doesn't start there, because it's realized here in Genesis chapter 13. Turn over to Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. It says this: "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from this place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land, look at this, which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." It's an eternal inheritance. "And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its width and its length and its width, for I give it to you." I give it to you. But this word possession is really realized. Skip over to Genesis chapter 15. Two chapters over. Genesis chapter 15. We find this word that we looked at in Joshua chapter 12 is a possession. This is where we find this word in Genesis chapter 15. Why? Well, because this is the official covenant where it's cut. This is where the blood takes place. So Genesis chapter 15, verse 4 says this: "And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying," and that's Abram, "this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." So here we have that wonderful, beautiful statement of righteousness, he's declared righteous because of this, because of belief. And then verse 7, "Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away." So Abram's kind of protecting him. Look at verse 12. "Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years." Of course, that is what? That's the Egyptian bondage. They left the land of inheritance, and then they came back. Well, where did they come back? Where? Joshua. Joshua's there coming back. So this is very relevant here. Look at verse 14. "And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out of this great with great possessions." And of course they did, right? They realized all of that bounty that came out of Egypt. By the way, Egypt a few years back, and I noticed, was suing Israel for that bounty. I don't know if you saw that in the publications. Of course, they didn't get anywhere. They went to go to the international court.
Statutes of limitations. I should say. Reparations.
Verse 15. "Now, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace." In other words, you're going to die. "And you shall be buried at a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete.
Whoa.
And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kidmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Raham, the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Gerishites and the Jebusites. All of that land, which we find back in Joshua, now that they possess, they've taken that land. But I want to kind of back up here through Genesis and point out a couple of things. First is back in verse 6. Of course, we find that Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. We find Abraham believed, and it's accredited or reckoned to him as righteousness. That great statement of faith, which follows in the New Testament in several places. But we find in verse 9, so he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, and he cuts all these things in half, right? So we find here in verse 9, it identifies the covenant as a blood covenant. He cuts them in half. But there's something strange here going on. Blood was shed. He cuts these animals in half, but notice God causes a deep sleep to fall on him. Okay, so it's an unconditional covenant. But Abraham did something. He cut these things in half. That's very unusual. We don't find blood covenants like that anywhere. They sacrifice an animal and they eat. But here he is. He cuts this animal in half. He divides it in half. And he separates them and divides them out. It's very unusual. Really, nobody's quite sure. All the expositors are really not quite sure what that means. You can infer a lot of things from that. But we find Israel's divided from the land. Maybe that's kind of the message. Israel's divided from the land. It's very unusual. And then you notice in this story back in Genesis 15 that he gives, Abraham comes upon a deep sleep and he sees some things. And God tells him some things. And it's referring to the story of the land. And so Israel was cut off from this land for 400 years. They're down in Egypt, in bondage in Egypt. They're cut off from their land. And so this after the rejection of Christ, what happens? They're cut off from the land again. Does that have something to do with this division of the meat? I don't know. No, nobody can tell you what this is. It's very unusual. It's not a usual covenant where you cut the meat in half and place it. It's a blood covenant is traditional, and it's usually a sacrifice, and they eat. So this is speculation on my part, but it's odd that it is divided, and it's also odd that Israel was divided from the land, really twice. Down in Egypt, and then really after they weren't necessarily divided during the Babylonian captivity. There was always some left in the land, but after they rejected the Messiah, they were divided from the land. In 132, they were expelled from the land. The land was renamed Palestine as opposed to Judah. I think it's very notable. It's speculation on my part. I don't know, but I think it's very noticeable. But it's interesting that in 2,000 years, after 2,000 years, not one shot was fired, and the modern nation of Israel was rebirthed by God alone. Can you believe that?
It's amazing.
It's amazing. That was their promise when they left Egypt. You won't have to lift an arm. I will divide the land for you and remove the inhabitants from the land before you. But they sinned, so that never occurred. So now they have this struggle. And it was a bloody struggle. 7 years battling, and they're not through with it because the land was not cleared, and the repercussions will continue. Let's move back to our text in Joshua chapter 12. Joshua chapter 12, and we find not only back in Genesis chapter 15 the division of the land given, and then that promise way back to Abraham continues up to this day in Joshua, but now we find here on the very last verse of chapter 24, verses 7 through 24, really are all as an accounting of all the kings. So verse 24, this all the kings were numbered 31. So now we come to this accounting. It's a great a little tabloid of all these kings of all of these areas, which is essentially Canaan and some of those other areas which they, as we saw, Moses started out on the other side of the Jordan River and giving the 2.5 tribes that land out there. But these are essentially, these are kings for a city-state. This particular region of Canaan was not unified in very big region with a single king, but every city seemed to have a kind of a king. And we've seen that. And here's the itemizing of these city-states, where the leader of the city is a king, and that's his kingdom. But those larger areas on the outskirts we're going to come to in chapter 13 and on through the rest of this book have to deal with the outer portions. And you can tell that by this handout on the back. The dividing of Canaan takes place here after, you know, starting in chapter 13. But we have 18 years here where some of these outside areas, the corner areas of the kingdom, are not cleared. And they need to be cleared, and it's going to be a mess. And it continue, and they will, throughout their history, always have battles on the outskirts of the kingdom, of Israel proper, with all of the battles and the fighting that takes place. The people who own the land on those outer borders, they got a tough one. They got a tough job out there. It's tough out there. If you happen to be one of the tribes that get one of the inner protected lands, well, yeah, that's a blessing. But those outer tribes, man, it's blood and guts. Blood and guts. Any questions, comments, observations?
Yeah. I'm glad you read Genesis 15. Because I couldn't remember where the scripture was that gave him this wide breadth of land. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize it was all the way from the Nile to the Euphrates. That just, you know, I thought it was to the Mediterranean, you know, basically. But
they call it, there's some disagreement on that. They call it the Wadi. And so what is that? All right. Essentially the Nile, yeah.
I mean, that's Egypt. Yeah. I mean, you know, and to God to give it to them. They never even got close to possessing that.
Right.
That after they took the lands here and they did what they were supposed to do, they didn't really...
they didn't get all the land.
They were supposed to be more campaigns probably after that, but then they kind of strayed away from the Lord, right? And that didn't get done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was the intent, right?
That was the intent. And it will someday in the future be cleared. Okay. Yeah.
Somebody should send this to the UN. do a little study, you know, study on who really. Who, I mean, there's documentation, pretty solid documentation that Israel has a right to the land, and yet they don't even want to give them the Temple Mount or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very so divided.
Thankfully, a new administration's coming in that we need to pray for. And see if they can turn some of those things around.
Yeah.
When the current prime ministers, when Ariel Sharon and before that Yitzhak Rabin tried to give away land, remember, they both of them were committed to that. Well, Yitzhak Rabin got killed, mm-hmm. murdered, and Ariel Sharon had a massive stroke. Although he lived for several years after that, you know, he was not ruler anymore. He was not prime minister. It seems like God takes that very seriously. No, you do not give back the land. You know,
I was just reading crude.
Okay. Mm. Anything else? Let's quit with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you for this time and your word. And a short little chapter here gave us the opportunity to go back to find the core, the root of your promises for this land. And we could go to the future and see that wonderful promise of Ezekiel, where you promised the new covenant, giving them all a new heart yes. on the final days, and giving them re-return, regathering to the land with a new heart. Not as today, where they're brought back to the land is unbelief, but in the land in belief. What a blessing that is. And what a blessing it is that you give us a new heart. So thank you so much for your Son who died for us on that wonderful cross. So just bless us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.